Suggest we're going to talk about a hodgepodge of topics for movies, music, TV, and other pop culture events.
And on this episode, we'll be discussing the films Hustlers, Ad Astra, and Todd Phillips's Joker. You can reach us at the hodgepodge.
Like
because it's Hustlers.
But no, but it was the juxtaposition of Hustlers and Ad Astra. Ad Astra's not even a soft movie. Like,
well, it's a nice space adventure. Was Hustlers.
It is not a space adventure. It is so far from a space adventure.
We'll get to that.
All right.
You can reach us at thehodgepodgepodcast@gmail.com or on our website, thehodgepodgepodcast.com, or look for us on iTunes and YouTube and subscribe, or head on over to Facebook, search for The Hodgepodge Podcast, and like our page.
Or die.
Or die. Wait. Yeah, Joker. Joker won the box office.
Yeah, like some 90, October record of yes. 93, like, 94 million. Like,
it's so funny. It's so funny when they're like the headlines, like it shatters box office records. I'm like, slow your roll, okay? Right. It's like, did it beat Avengers Endgame? Then it didn't shatter nothing. Yeah, it beat the October whatever. Who gives a fuck? If they put a Marvel movie out in October, guess
the
what?
The doldrums of October between the summer blockbusters and the.
Prestige.
And the Oscar nominations
films.
Of November. I mean, ooh.
Yeah, so it won the box office handily.
I'm just biding my time till January when I can see Bad Boys for Life. Everything else is just ambiance.
There's something else coming out in January that was a kind of a big deal movie. But I forget what it was.
You mean another big deal movie?
Sure. I forget what it was. Damn. We'll think of it later. What else is going on? Oh, Disney Plus is available for pre-order now, so you can sign up and get ready. I think you save $14 if you buy the year as opposed to monthly. I'll just buy monthly.
Yeah,
it's
whatever.
Fine. It's
whatever.
Fine.
$14 a year. I'll probably scrape that together.
Exactly. I saw Judy.
Judy.
I saw the Judy Garland movie. It was okay. She was really good. Renee Zellweger is really, really good in it. But it's one of those things where it's like a biopic, but I have to wonder how much of it really happened.
That's every biopic ever.
Not every biopic ever. It's more recent than not. But it was...
Lots
it was...
of racism.
No, I don't think there was. But I enjoyed it.
Didn't she do a lot of those? I don't know what you know what you call them, like movies with blackface.
No, I don't think she did. No, I mean it wasn't in the movie.
Okay,
they did flash back to when she was young, and they did, you know. And who was the guy who played Mr. Meyer, the studio head? That guy was creepy as fuck. But it was decent. If you really want to know about the Judy Garland story, go check it out.
That would literally be the only reason. Dude.
Well, I mean, some people might want to see it for other reasons, but, you know, it's...
What I'm hearing you say is there is no other reason to see the movie.
Is
that correct?
No, there is. Singing's good. Richard Cordery, Louis B. Mayer. Let's see. What else was this guy in? He was creepy as fuck. He's been in a lot of stuff I've never heard of. Okay. Oh, he was in The Wife. That's great. He played The Wife. That's weird. but yeah, so... yeah, Judy's pretty good. What else is going on?
Emmys.
That's right. Yeah, the Emmys. Huge surprise.
The Fleabag.
Fleabag kicked ass.
Awesome. It's a good show.
Yeah, I've never watched. I have to watch
very
it.
Funny.
I have to watch it. My Amazon Prime is acting weird on my Roku TV. It's like you can play the stuff, but all the thumbnails are gray. They're all blank. So it's like you have to like really like search to find something. So I think I have to do something to reset it or something like that to get it right. But yeah, Phoebe Waller-Bridge, she won for Best Actress in a Comedy.
Right.
Fleabag won for Best Comedy, and she won for Best Writing in a Comedy. Basically, destroyed Veep. Which made sense to me, because I thought that they might give it to Julia Louis-Dreyfus, but at the same time, this season of Veep, while it was very funny, she went from being like a funny character to like an unlikable character.
That was the idea.
Right.
I mean, by design, that's what happened.
Oh, yeah. But I think that might have been what hurt her maybe a little bit.
She's won plenty.
Yeah. She's only won eight or whatever it is.
She's fine. I can't believe Game of Thrones won.
That was like their Return of the King award. Like, they won for...
They've won
it before, yeah. But this was their final swan song. Yes. Their final swan song win.
Their final dragon song.
Yes. But they didn't win for writing or directing in anything.
It was a Song of Fire and Ice.
Right. They won a bunch of technical awards earlier, you know, which of course they did, because I call it a film because it basically is a film on TV. And then Peter Dinklage won again for Best Supporting Actor, and he was really good this season. I thought he was good. Jason Bateman won for Best Directing on Ozark.
Yeah.
Was cool. Tony Shalhoub and Alex Borenstein won for Best Supporting Actors in a Comedy for the... what is it? The Wonderful Mrs. Maisel? Mm-hmm. Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. I gotta watch that too.
I haven't watched that yet. I've heard it's really good.
There's so many shows I gotta watch. When I was on Amazon Prime, because I finished Good Place, and I was just like, well, what am I gonna watch next? And I was like, you know what? I need to get back to Jack Ryan, because I never finished Jack Ryan. So I was like, I'll just start watching Jack Ryan again. So I'm on like episode 3 of the first season. Second season comes out soon. Sure. I think. It's good. I like John Krasinski in the part. And I like Wendell Pierce as Jim Greer. What else won for acting? She won.
Bill Hader.
Bill Hader won for Barry for Best Comedy. Yeah. Best Comedy
Patricia
Actor.
Patricia Arquette won for the actor.
Limited series.
She gave a nice little shout out to her sister.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Her past sister.
Yes, right. Who else won? Oh, Jodie Comer won for Killing Eve, another show I haven't watched.
If you go to www.emmys.com, you can look up everyone that won. Instead of us.
Well, the big winners were Game of Thrones, Fleabag, and it was a lot of surprises, and it's which is good, because the Emmys has been known a lot for just like, here, Frasier, here's another award. And, like, the West Wing won so many years. Even though the West Wing was a great show, West Wing won so many years when it's like, you probably should give it to Sopranos this year. I can't remember how many Sopranos won, but that the Emmys do that. They get stuck in a rut where they're just like, just keep on giving it to this show. Like, Modern Family, well, when Modern Family started, it was great. But then when they started giving it to, like, season 4 or 5, you're like, all right, come on. It's like, all right, that's enough. But yeah, so that was the big thing. No host last night either. I heard it was not that great when they did it.
I mean, they're just overly PC about everything now, and anyone be scared to host, because as soon as you pull out a name from the hat, they're going to dig up something bad you did.
The other problem is because it was on Fox. Fox has no personalities, really. On CBS, you got Colbert, and on Corbin.
That doesn't matter for
no, it does. No, it does though. It does though, because Jimmy Kimmel will host it when it's on ABC. Like, Fallon hosts it when it's on NBC. They always get somebody that's in their stable to do it. And Fox used to get like they would get the wild card person, and like they would get Conan, I think, sometimes and stuff like that. But I don't know. Maybe Conan's just like, screw you now. You know what the worst part about the Emmys was?
The Emmys.
We can't know John Oliver because he was at the Emmys. He couldn't record his show, and he won, which is good for him.
Well, they won.
Yeah, they won for best talk show
variety show. No, because
Was it talk show? I think it's talk show.
Talk show, because variety show was SNL won.
Yeah, they won for sketch show. Yeah. I'm like, could you tailor this category any more to Saturday Night Live? Go fuck yourselves. Speaking of Saturday Night Live, they were going to hire a racist.
I wasn't speaking of that.
They were going to hire a racist, and then they got rid of him when they found out he was a racist.
And then he doubled down on being a racist.
And then he doubled down on it.
He really steered into the skid there.
He really did. The skid in his undershorts. It was funny. Somebody was, I think it was Collider, had something, some post or something about one of the spoilers in the movie about, they're like, oh, this gives the Joker a real reason to hate Batman.
No.
And I'm like,
Not at all.
Not unless he figures out that Bruce Wayne's Batman. No, he doesn't.
Not at all.
So.
And also, you know, I know he's crazy, but you know, what, the sins of the father on some little 8-year-old kid. Okay. Yeah. Sure, if that's what gonna make you hate someone, I guess. All right.
So let's talk about Hustlers.
I don't want to do that. I'll talk about Hustlers.
Let's talk about Hustler. Founded by Larry Flint. I forget which year.
1974. 1974? No, I just made that up.
I thought you were very confident.
Yeah.
No, Hustlers is a film based on a true story, yes? Kind of?
Yeah.
And it stars Constance Wu and Jennifer Lopez, who looks amazing.
I mean, 50 years old, got twins.
I'm 50.
Best she's ever looked.
She is, yeah. She doesn't get naked, even though she's a stripper. Got to deduct the point for that.
Sacrilege.
But her dance that she does, great. And it's about these strippers who basically kind of sort of go into business for themselves after the market crash of 2008. Because now all the Wall Street guys, I think. The place, because it was based on an article that somebody wrote, and I think it was Scores was the place. The actual place was Scores, but they didn't use the name Scores in the movie.
Because with the market tanking, obviously that means a lot of luxury things tank too,
right?
Including well tipping your strippers,
yes, or going at all. Yeah. And a lot of the Wall Street guys stopped going, so the business started drying up. And so then these strippers go into business for themselves.
But
and
only the business was drying up.
Yeah.
There was plenty of other wetness to go around. It was just the business that was drying up.
That was gross.
Okay. All right.
Okay, white people. And the peanut gallery is not pleased with your innuendos.
I'm pleased with myself. That's all that matters to me.
So, basically what these dancers did is that they got together and then they basically robbed these guys.
They drugged them
with like Rohypnol,
yeah.
And then they take their credit cards. And I guess they did like the cash limit or whatever on it.
Yeah, so it was kind of an escalation.
Right.
It started as they started basically, they went from strippers to freelancing. How would you describe it? I don't know what you call it, but they went to freelancing out and about to get people to come to the strip clubs to spend money.
Right.
Like just legit. Like they throw some lies in there and
right.
You know, kind of, you know, hit on guys to get them there.
Right.
But then I don't remember the character names, but J-Lo's character
Ramona.
It was the other one, Beezus?
No.
No? Okay.
Different movie.
Oh, okay. So, Ramona...
J-Lo Ramona, age 8.
let's just say she's got a real entrepreneurial spirit.
Yeah.
And she had heard about this thing that was done in other places.
Right.
Where they would drug them with a certain concoction of chemicals that would basically allow the person to feel inebriated, and then kind of their memory would be very hazy the next day.
Right.
So basically,
it's like Rohypnol.
Basically, they'd have them spend a crap ton of money and then take their credit cards and max them out.
Right.
And that was all. They did that for over a year, I guess. And then shit hit the fan.
Yeah. A lot of people keep comparing this movie to Goodfellas because it's kind of sort of, you know, it's like it's four main girls instead of three main
Joe
guys.
Joe Pesci and J-Lo look alike.
No. I would say that J-Lo is the Robert De Niro character.
Oh, for sure.
Because she seems like a good person, and then all of a sudden you see how devious she is. Right. Obviously, Constance Wu is the Ray Liotta, mainly because she was trying to flush a bag of coke down the toilet. I'm kidding. But this was a movie that
she had a conscience.
Yes, sure. Sure. Your favorite actress Julia Stiles is back in
this.
Why
is she my favorite?
I don't know.
Actress.
Didn't you say you didn't like her at some point?
Maybe
that was my buddy
Jack. I don't know that I have a big opinion on Julia Stiles.
She plays the reporter basically that ties all that's together because it's all told in flashback basically, kind of like Goodfellas.
The narrative is a little wonky. Like,
yeah,
it's a little clanky.
Yeah,
but it works enough to kind of be a glue.
Yeah.
To weave through. But it's a little wonky as to, you know, why is this going on now? You know, what led you to this story?
Right.
Kind of thing. But it works.
The film is written and directed by Lorraine Scafaria. She does a good job with it. The strip club scenes are cool. I like the scene when
the strip club scenes are cool. He says,
"Well, no, she films them very well." Right. And I like the scene when Usher comes in.
Yeah, well, that was hilarious. Great. That was great.
A lot of funny moments in it.
She goes, "I'm sorry, what's your name?"
A lot of funny moments in it.
It's a funny movie.
It's really funny, but there's also a lot of poignant moments
black
in it too. Yeah,
clearly.
But this was a movie that when I saw the trailer, I was like, "Oh my god, that's going to be a train wreck." And then it went to the festivals, and all these people were like, "Oh my god, it's so good!" And so I was like, "All right, I'll go see it then." And it was really good. I was really impressed with it. And J-Lo's great. I mean, it's probably her best role since what? Out of Sight, probably.
I mean, not that she's had a whole lot.
No, because she did a lot of rom-coms and shit like that. But
just the stuff that.
Well, no, it's probably
pushed out.
It's probably her best since Geely.
It's turkey time. Gobble, gobble, gobble.
Dude, I've never seen it.
it's not good.
I don't want to see it.
It is not good.
But no, definitely since Out of Sight. Because Out of Sight, she was great in Out of Sight. I think that's also due a lot to Elmore Leonard, though, because that story is fucking cool as shit. But definitely go check out Hustlers. Bring the kids.
Maybe don't.
Yeah, but it definitely surprised me. Which
Constance Wu, by the way, did really well. Like,
yeah, she did. She did.
I'll throw a shout out to her. She was a very good actor.
Yeah, yeah. She was good in it too. She's on Fresh Off the Boat, right? Isn't she on that?
No.
And she was also in Crazy Rich Asians, wasn't she in that?
Probably. Yes.
I think she was the lead in that. She was good in that too. But yeah. So definitely check out Hustlers. It's a good movie.
Why did you do that? And then
because we're sponsored today by the Olive Garden. Okay. maybe you'll see Post Malone there. Oh god, I'd leave. That guy was near my food. I'm out of here. Let's talk about a movie that we were definitely looking forward to more than Hustlers. And it also turned out to be pretty great. And that is James Gray's Ad Astra, starring Brad Pitt and his cantankerous father, Tommy Lee Jones.
Did it really star Tommy Lee Jones? I mean, he was just like basically a cameo.
He was a presence. He was a presence throughout the film.
I personally liked how they kept flashing his still shots from Space Cowboys.
Yeah. That's what was so funny, that they got Donald Sutherland in it too. And I was like,
no,
and when they talked, when he's like, how'd you know my father? And he's like, we were yeah, Space Cowboys
yeah,
together.
I was like, I know how you know your father. The pictures are definitely from Space Cowboys.
My mom loves Brad Pitt. So the movie actually came out on her birthday. So I was like, oh, I'll take her to go see Ad Astra. And I so wanted to make that joke to her, but I know she would not have gotten it.
I was right there with you. Yeah. I was like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Space Cowboys. That movie was funny.
What does Ad Astra mean?
I think it meant
stars.
I think that's what it means. To the stars. Yeah. When they have almost that Blade Runner esque type at the beginning.
I assume it's like Latin.
Probably, yeah. And there's a lot of you can definitely see the influences of other sci-fi movies. There's a lot of 2001 in there.
It's peppered with all kinds of stuff. 2001 for sure.
Yeah,
2001. That's probably its strongest influence.
Yeah. And then to that degree, a little bit of Interstellar, a little bit.
A little bit. But that's kind of like saying, you know, Interstellar was also
inspired by 2001. So. But Interstellar had a little bit more action in it. Yeah. Like 2001 doesn't have really any action in it.
I would not say this had any action in it. I mean, that's when the thing blows up.
Yeah, it has a little bit.
By the way, it's a cool scene.
Which one?
The way it was filmed. That when the very beginning.
Oh yeah. That was cool.
I want to see that in IMAX.
Yeah. And also, I would say there was also a Blade Runner influence too, because he's very like almost robotic. He's almost robotic.
Yeah.
Because he has to go through like that thing that Ryan Gosling did.
The test.
Yeah. In 2049, when he was just like symbols together, symbols or whatever the hell it was. It's kind of similar to what Brad Pitt has to do in this for his psychological check. But basically, what the story goes is that Brad Pitt's an astronaut, as was his father. His father went.
And his father before
him. And his father before him. And his father, played by Tommy Lee Jones, went off on this mission to go out to Neptune so that it was free of the sun's.
The farthest reach of space they could go.
So
that they could transmit and find alien life.
Alien life, right. And so then what happens is there's this incident called the Surge. It looks like.
Back up a little bit deep. The incident called the Surge is happening 30 plus years later.
From
Tommy Lee Jones's mission.
Right.
He's presumed dead. That whole mission, they're kind of presumed, well, to most people, they're presumed dead.
Right.
Okay. The Surge happens, which basically causes, it's not even worldwide, it's like, galaxy wide.
Yeah.
Power
out. Yeah, solar system wide. Yeah. System wide. And basically Donald Trump's Space Force informs Brad Pitt that that they think that his father is still alive and that he is the one that's causing the surge. And so they say to Brad Pitt, hey, you want to go to Neptune? And he's like, I guess I don't have any choice. And so he goes out to search for his father, and won't ruin any of the twists in it. But that's basically it. And then he basically has to come to grips with who his father really is, as opposed to who he believed him to be.
He and
everybody else. Yeah. But there was actually on the moon. There was actually on the moon.
A little bit.
The pirates. Come on, man.
A little bit.
That was cool.
Oh, yeah, it was all right.
That poor guy that was with them. Spoiler alert, sorry. but it's...
I got to be honest. They were just going to fire missiles. So they probably should have done that sooner.
They should have said something like, well, we're in the dark side, so they can't hear us. Or there's a bad interference with some of them. Ruth Negga is also in this. She plays a key role. Not a big part, but she's a very key role in this. Donald Sutherland, as we mentioned, he's also in this. But it's really Brad Pitt's show. It's all about him. I mean, there's a period where he's in space by himself for a while, and
I gotta be honest, that room that he stays in that's supposed to be calming.
Yeah.
That would freak the shit out of me. You got like giant flowers and waves coming at you. Oh! That's just going to freak me out. That's not going to calm me down. I don't know why they think that would be calming.
It's the future. Liv Tyler is in this too. I think they may have
right, because it's the sequel to Armageddon.
Right. They may have, yeah, he's Ben Affleck. Okay. And Tommy Lee Jones is Bruce Willis. He was supposed to have died on the asteroid. They may have filmed other stuff just for the trailer, like the Marvel movies do, because it seemed like her part was much bigger than it really is, but it's actually much smaller. Still a key part in the movie, but again, it's not nearly as big as the trailer makes it seem like. But everybody does a great job in this. Brad Pitt is excellent in it.
It's a good story. I mean, this is a story-driven drama, a movie. Yeah. It's not really about the outer space element. It's an internal struggle.
But he was really good in it, and I'll be interested to see if that parlays into any Oscar attention for him.
We disagree on this point, but the only criticism I have of the movie is that it's like it wasn't a whole lot of... The themes weren't new.
Mm-hmm.
It was that same age-old story of it's not about space exploration. It's about the exploration of humanity.
Right.
You know, small criticism. Doesn't take away from the movie. It's just...
That's what a lot of sci-fi does.
But yeah, it's a tedious movie to watch because you feel very uneasy.
Yes. Lot. And there's one scene where they really ratchet up the tension really well, when they get the call. They really ratchet up the tension really well on that.
At the end, by the way, at the very end, when he's like in the diner, and sees Liv Tyler, I wanted her to so badly pull in her new husband in the frame, and then just wave goodbye.
Like La La Land?
Yeah. I was like, oh, man. She's going to go inside.
This guy can't win. But yeah, it's really great. It was one of my favorite movies of the year so far. I really, really liked it a lot. But I like science fiction
also,
movies like this.
Also not a whole lot to draw from.
Oh, you mean... No, I mean, there's some... There were some good... There are good movies so far this year.
They're good movies, yeah, but there are great movies.
Most of the great movies come in the fall anyway, so that's we're starting to get into that now. Yeah. I mean, I'm positive that Rambo is fantastic.
Yeah.
The peanut gallery is laughing at this one.
Yeah, it'll be good.
It's a 29 on Metacritic.
It's Last Blood until the next one comes out.
God,
you see where he's like, I still want to see a prequel to Rambo. Why?
I'm going to play Rambo again, but I'm going to be my 20-year-old version.
We all know, he's not a fucking superhero. He's just a war veteran that turned into an action hero.
I'm sorry. Why? He's not even Rambo in this movie, because he doesn't have that long mane of black hair.
Well, he didn't in the last one. No, he did.
He did. He did. Yeah, he did have long hair in the last one.
You're right.
But it wasn't that perfectly coiffed.
I really only like the original, First Blood.
I think that's what most people think. Yeah.
I disagree. I think most people don't like that one.
Really, the first one?
Especially people our age, they just love the action.
Really?
Like, yeah.
Oh, I thought people would like the first one.
Because
it actually has, you know,
a story. Yeah.
Well, it's based on a novel. That one's based on a novel,
correct.
And then all the rest are based on Sylvester Stallone's masturbatory dreams.
It's a long road.
Because I did not like the last one. The
Oh, right.
I mean, the action was ridiculously over the top, and the script was just awful. And I was like, let me guess, Sly Stallone wrote this, didn't he? It was, God, it was so bad. They would talk Rotten Tomatoes. And I'm so glad now we've segued into a movie that we didn't even fucking see.
We're now reviewing something we haven't seen.
But haven't we?
We can give you the beat.
Rotten Tomatoes asked him, they were like, so are there any other, you know, characters you want to revisit? And he's like, yeah, we might. I was talking to Robert Rodriguez. We might do Cobra. I'm like, oh my God, dude. I'm like, just stop.
I saw that.
And then he talked to Kurt Russell about doing Tango and Cash. And Kurt Russell's like, I don't know.
two words. Actually, three words. Lincoln Hulk / Hulks. Do a little over the top sequel.
They said that too. Oh, they're like, you should bring back Over the Top. Oh,
God. Now they're just throwing out movies and laughing at it. I'm like, hey,
why don't you do a sequel to Oscar?
A sequel to Stop or My Mom Will Shoot.
Hey, Estelle Getty is dead. Yeah. Put Betty White in it.
She was a treasure.
Better put Betty White in it.
Exactly.
God. Oh, Sly Stallone. Anyway. But he did reveal that he's done with Creed, so he won't be in any more of the Creed movies.
Sure.
I don't know. We'll see. Will there be a Creed 3? I mean, how well did the last one do? I can't remember.
It was all right.
I mean, it was definitely a come down from the first one.
Yeah, yeah.
It was good. I mean, it was a good movie, but
yeah, it wasn't. It didn't. Yeah, the box office was only fair, but yeah.
It was a decent Rocky.
It was
sequel.
Enough that they could scrape out another.
Probably,
one. Yeah,
probably. Yeah, whatever. all I know is they're making another Ghostbusters movie. Woo! Can't wait. God, who cares? Dan Aykroyd, stop. Just stop.
He didn't even get the credit for writing it. He didn't write it.
Oh, I don't know. Well, Jason Reitman's directing it.
Yeah.
I mean, so it's how much nepotism.
All in the family.
How much nepotism can you get? And then they're basically like, fuck that lady Ghostbusters movie.
Yeah, Leslie Jones was not too happy about
No,
that.
She wasn't. She was so mad.
I get it.
She was so mad she quit Saturday Night Live.
I despise that movie, but I get it.
No, yeah. Me too. Yeah. Because it makes it seem like it was like, oh, that was just the lady Ghostbusters movie. They had their fun.
Right.
And it's like, you know. But what they're doing for this one, they should have done for that one. They should have made it an offshoot of the original series.
Right. And not so goddamn slapsticky.
Yeah. Yeah, because that's what people forget about.
They parodied. They basically made a parody.
Yeah, they made a Ghostbusters parody.
Yeah.
Because they don't remember that everybody in Ghostbusters plays it straight.
Right.
Except for the Ghostbusters.
Anyway.
Anyway. Let's roast this turkey. Joker is, we'll call it an experiment by DC Warner Brothers.
By all accounts, it's apparently a successful experiment.
Yeah. I mean, so now we're going to see just...
By the numbers.
Now we're going to see just how standalone this movie's going to be.
Right. Exactly.
It's a standalone...
Exactly right.
Yeah. It's a standalone movie, supposedly.
Yeah, they won't even sit on their principles on that.
No, they won't. They won't.
Wait a second. Some execs are going to go, wait a second. This made a lot of money, but we said it was only going to be a standalone?
Yeah.
That's not going to happen. Let's write that sequel up.
Yeah. It's... written and directed by Todd Phillips, whose best movie is still Old School.
Hangover is pretty good.
To me, The Hangover is overrated, and the two sequels are god awful.
Whoa. Yeah, the sequel. I didn't say the sequel. They are true hangovers.
Yes, they are. War Dogs was okay. I liked that. That was funny.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about War Dogs.
But I looked at the rest of his filmography and I'm just like, it's still Old School. Apparently he believes that you can't be funny anymore, which is why he's trying to make serious movies now. Because woke culture is preventing comedy, to which Mark Maron said, you're a fucking idiot, basically. And Mark Maron's in The Joker.
Well, he also said he hates superhero movies and he's in The Joker. So.
No, that's true. But at the same time...
He's also in it for like 5 seconds, so...
He is, yeah. But I forgot he was in it until he showed up, and I was like, oh, yeah, he is in this. Probably like Bill Burr and is going to be in The Mandalorian.
I mean, I'm sure he had probably had a bigger part, and it was edited out.
Yeah, but he was basically like, you know, plenty of people being, you know, risky and funny. Maybe that just means you're a bad comedian or something. It was not... Maybe he did have a bigger part, and that's why he's being so pissy. Because he's like, you cut my part.
Yeah, maybe.
The movie stars Joaquin Phoenix, and that's about it. There's other people in the movie, but he's the only character that really matters and is developed at all. He plays Arthur Fleck. It's set in the early 80s. And it basically traces this guy's journey as he basically...
It's not this guy. It's Joker.
It traces
Arthur
this...
Arthur Fleck.
It traces this guy's journey as he basically goes insane. And
which
eventually...
Would have been fun. Would have been a good movie if you just taken all the ad hoc nauseam Batman Joker stuff out of it. Like, just have it about a guy going insane. And he can be a clown, too.
Yeah.
Just doesn't have to be
Well, it's
Joker.
Like I said, what they should have done, if they really
but
wanted...
But that's what sells right now.
Right. If they really wanted to divorce it from the Batman mythos, they should have made him inspired by the actual comic books. And that's why he becomes a clown. That's why he becomes the Joker. But it's like he exists outside the DC universe, basically. But yeah, he lives with his mother, who's played by Frances. What's her name? McConroy. Sounds like that. Conroy. Frances Conroy.
I don't know what you're saying.
Who was in 6 Feet Under and various other projects. And she's probably a little Fruit Loops herself. And Brett Cullen plays Donald Trump. Thomas Wayne. Which I couldn't stand. I couldn't stand that portrayal of the character.
I know. They make him a complete asshole.
They made him. But see, then of course, you can also look at it also from the fact that the Joker is basically the narrator of this. So, you know. How
well,
real is everything?
Well, not really. I mean, it's not like it's told in first person from his point of view. It's just a movie showing all the characters.
No, but it's not. But at the end.
At the end, sure. But right. I mean, he's portrayed as an asshole way before that.
Yeah, I know. But he's been... Yeah, I know. But he's been telling this story. That's what's implied at the end of the movie. That he's been telling this story.
I guess that's...
To that person.
Yeah, I guess that's implied.
But anyway, he's basically Donald Trump. He says a lot of Donald Trump stuff like, only I can help you, and I'm the rich or better than the losers out there. And, you know, it's... And I'm like... In any incarnation of Batman, Thomas Wayne is always, like, a good guy.
Right.
Like, he's not, like... The only time Thomas Wayne kind of loses his shit is in the Flashpoint story, where he actually becomes Batman. Because Bruce and Martha are killed.
And no offense.
He becomes Batman.
And that's important, because that's ingrained in who Bruce Wayne is.
Right,
i.e.
exactly.
Batman.
Right, exactly.
If Batman didn't have some asshole father, or he would have been Joker.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, I didn't like that characterization. Robert De Niro is in this as basically a Johnny Carson type talk show host. I did like how they got the Ed McMahon and Doc Severance and guys perfect. Like, they were perfect.
I mean, they were right, spot on.
Who else? Zazie Beetz is completely wasted in this movie. She's basically like a prop. Tyree Henry has one scene.
I don't want to give away what happens, but at least that didn't happen as played out.
Right. Yeah, right. Yeah, because
the whole time
that wasn't making any sense.
No way.
No way. No way does anybody put up with this crazy
shit.
Right,
yeah.
So
I'll give them that. At least it played out that way. That made sense.
Yeah. The movie... I didn't hate it, but there was a lot of stuff where I was like, huh? It was fine. The movie was fine.
It was fine. It wasn't a bad movie.
He was really good. Do I think he should win the Oscar? No, I do not.
Right.
He wasn't nearly as good. He wasn't as magnetic as Heath Ledger was in The Dark Knight. And I'm sorry, I hate to bring up Heath Ledger, but it's the same role, and people are saying, oh, he should win the Oscar for this. And I'm like, for best actor? No fucking
way.
You're
fucking crazy.
No fucking way.
Literally. He's crazy.
Yeah, he is crazy. I also... You know, it was funny how Todd
sorry,
yeah.
But let's be honest here. He's just playing a crazy guy,
mm-hmm.
And the only thing you remember by the end of it is, okay, he's got a great fucking laugh.
Yeah.
But that's it.
Right.
That's really the sole crux of his character.
Right.
I'm not saying he doesn't have any depth or anything,
right.
But That's what you really remember. Okay. He's got a fantastic
Joker laugh. Yeah, he does. All he was really good.
It's clear he worked on it. Yeah. It's clear he probably said, hey, we need to get this in here as much as possible. Well, we can figure a way to do that.
Todd Phillips, I love how he was going in the press and going, oh, it's not based on any of the comics. And then you saw that panel I posted, right?
Yeah.
Like
direct.
The Joker in the Dark Knight Returns comic book, which is like by Frank Miller and Klaus Janson and Lynn Varley. It's like a seminal Batman story. And literally what happens in the book is that the Joker goes on a talk show, and it's basically Dave Letterman. It's the Dave Letterman show. They call him David Endicrin, though. And he goes on the show and he kills everybody in the studio. This is in the comic book. And there's a Dr. Ruth type character there, and he kisses her. And then in this one, when he comes on the talk show, he kisses the woman. Yeah, so it's like it's torn straight from the fucking comic. I'm like, so go fuck yourself, Todd Phillips. And I gotta be honest, you know, I think part of me would like this movie more if Todd Phillips wasn't such an insufferable asshole. You know, I read him in interviews and stuff like that. He just seems like a total fucking prick, and I'm just like,
He's very opinionated, and it always comes off as I'm right, you're wrong. Mm-hmm. There is no other way to look at this.
Right. I mean, he seems very defensive too.
Yeah.
And it's like,
I feel like he went into this being defensive, probably, like going on the defense. Like, yeah. And to be fair, it's a tall order what he was asked to do.
He wasn't asked to do anything. It was his idea.
Sorry. It's a tall order what he undertook.
Right.
But I don't know. It just, you better be prepared to make a lot of people uncomfortable or pissy when you're dealing with a canon that's existed for 75 years. 80 years.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, okay, I get it. You want to take some creative license and shake it up, but you're going to make some people mad because you shook things up in the wrong way.
Yeah.
And again, I stand, you know, I felt the same way about, oh gosh, I can't remember what movie I'm thinking of right now, but I felt the same way about Rob Zombie's Halloween remake.
Okay.
Which is a far cry from
right.
any kind of canon we're talking about here.
Right.
But the same thing, if you had taken the movie and isolated it on its own and not had it be Michael Myers, but just another psycho with a mask, it's a good popcorn movie.
Right.
You change the iconography of the main character like you do in the backstory, it ruins everything.
Yeah.
It taints the whole thing.
Yeah. Didn't they make Lori his sister in that?
Yeah.
You told me that before? Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, she was always his sister.
Even though in the original? Oh, I didn't know.
She changed her name to Strange.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Oh, that's what he's. That's the whole deal. He's going to kill us. He's going off to finish off his family.
Gotcha.
Anyway. But yeah, that's why this one doesn't work for me, is because it's a good movie, but it kills a lot of things that it didn't even have to, really.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, but first of all, they painstakingly made it clear on two, at least three instances, that this guy's supposed to be, like, roughly 30 years old. And it's clear Joaquin Phoenix ain't playing a 30-year-old man. He's 45. Like, he's 44 in real life, but it's clear that this guy... He
looks way older.
Yeah, he looks way older than that. Yeah. And then, but the reason they have to do that is because they make Bruce Wayne, like, fucking 8 years old, 10 years old tops.
Yeah.
And you can't, they don't want people's minds jumping to, oh my God, is he going to be fighting someone 80 years old?
Yeah.
Like when he's becomes Batman?
Yeah. Yeah.
So again, why even add that?
And
you could have had Thomas Wayne be any Joe Schmo politician.
Right.
Axe Batman, proceeded.
Right.
Why not?
Yeah. The other thing is too about this is that I really love the origin that Alan Moore came up with in The Killing Joke. Not the movie The Killing Joke, which has some problematic parts in it. Batgirl and Batman fucking, which doesn't make any fucking sense at all, but I liked
the... Then she becomes a popsicle on a stick.
Wow. And then I liked the Joker's origin, though, that they set up in the Killing Joke. He's a failed comedian, but he's sane,
right?
And the whole premise is that one bad day can turn you crazy, and that's what he tries to prove with Commissioner Gordon.
And this one, he's already insane.
He's already crazy.
And he just stops taking his medication.
Basically.
I'm not going to take my medication anymore.
And that says something, I guess.
And it comes from his mother. Like, it's,
right.
It's genetic. So it's not even, like, something special about him.
Right.
It's just, hey, anyone can be a Joker. What?
Yeah. So, it is violent. It's not nearly as gory violent as I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
They really oversold that. Yeah. But it is violent.
There's like two laughs maybe in the whole movie.
Yeah, there is no humor in this whatsoever. I mean, and for a movie called Joker.
Well, I think that was Todd Phillips' design, right?
Like, probably.
Like, I'm gonna but do, I mean, juxtaposition.
Right, but even like you said after the movie, like, even though the Joker's crazy and he's horrific, the Joker is still funny. He's still funny. And this guy's not funny at all. And the other thing is, too, is that this guy is not very bright. And the Joker is, like, a genius. Like, he's a criminal genius.
Right.
And he's an insane genius. But the Joker is a genius.
Yep.
And this guy is not. Mm-hmm. So it...
Shit just starts falling into place.
Yeah.
With what's...
Yeah.
Because of everything that's already going on in the city.
Right.
He doesn't orchestrate anything.
Oh, yeah. And that is
a problem.
The plot was ridiculous.
Joker orchestrates things. He sets up chaos. That's
right.
The whole point. This guy didn't,
yeah.
didn't do anything on purpose.
Right. And the thing is, and of course the thing is like, it's kind of like Man of Steel, where it's like he's becoming the Joker.
Right.
So it's not, he's not really the Joker, but the guy should still be intelligent.
Well, right. You still have to, like, make him smart, though.
Yeah. I mean, he's like a nebbish loser. And it's like, that's not, that guy doesn't become the Clown Prince of Crime.
Right.
He becomes one of the Joker's henchmen, basically, is what he becomes. That would have been a good story. But, you know.
Henchmen never get any love.
I guess not.
Austin Powers taught us that.
Yeah. So does Venture Brothers. So what happens in this is that, and we're going to get into spoilers now. We had a little bit of a spoiler in the beginning, but whatever. That plot point's so fucking dumb.
It was in the trailer.
No. Not the, sorry, the Thomas Wayne part.
Oh. All
right. To which... Dirty A audibly said, no.
Oh, I did. I couldn't help it. I saw it coming. I even knew before.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. When he started opening the letter, I'm like,
oh, God.
If
he fucking makes this what I think it's going to be,
yeah.
I'm going to be so pissed. And then he did it, and I couldn't. I just.
Yeah, you were like, no. So what happens is that, like Dirty A said, he stops taking his medication. You know, and I liked Matt Goldberg's review. Shout out to him on Collider, because he really did hit a lot of points. He's like, and other reviewers did this too, not just him, but like, they're like, it touches on a lot of topics, but it has nothing to say about any of them. I mean, I guess you could say maybe it speaks to the way that mental health is treated in this country. But the other thing is too, is then you said it in the 80s.
Yeah.
And everybody knows it was shitty back then.
Yeah. And
shittier
also,
than it is now.
Well, and also, it's fucking Gotham. So you know Arkham Asylum just
exactly.
A crazy lunatic place.
Yeah,
it's not a real...
It's not even a real city.
It's not supposed
to be
a real hospital.
Yeah, and all the crazy Batman villains are from Arkham.
I just started calling out villains' names when they went into Arkham because I just assumed that they were going to start walking by.
There's Mr. Zazz.
The problem is... I think Todd Phillips watched the show Gotham and said, oh.
Maybe. It's
what if
possible.
I did a feature-length film like this?
Maybe.
And Gotham was a piece of shit for the same reasons we're talking about here.
Yeah.
You know, it focused on the wrong things. It turned into the Batman show when it was supposed to be the Gordon show.
Yeah. Yeah. And the Batman was like 15.
Yeah. At least he was older than this one, I guess.
Fuck. Yeah, yeah. So basically, he stops taking his medication.
Also, I would like to point out, in a billionaire's mansion, who puts the kids' clubhouse right by the front gate?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway.
So he stops taking his medication because stuff gets, his program that he's in gets cut. Arthur Fleck, I should say. And he is basically,
he also thinks it's hampering his writing, his comedy.
Yeah, he wants to be a comedian and he's terrible. He has a condition, which this part I hated, that he has a condition that makes him laugh involuntarily. I'm like, fuck you.
That's what I talked about when I said, oh, you need to make sure I'm sure we can fit in a way to make you laugh more than you might normally. Yeah.
It was, like, that was so much Han Solo horse shit that it's just like, I mean, why don't you show how much he loves the color purple?
So you want to be a comedian and you somehow have a disorder that makes you laugh a lot?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Huh.
So, it gets Joaquin Phoenix a lot of screen time to be laughing and doing the Joker laugh, which is great. But the problem is that it's kind of stupid. The Joker always laughs for a reason. The reason why the Joker laughs is because he finds shit funny.
He laughs
funny.
Because he finds it funny. Now, at the end, Arthur Fleck kind of turns into that.
Like, right.
I just find everything's a comedy now. But it doesn't matter because he laughs just because he's embarrassed or whatever. Like, Uncomfortable makes him laugh.
Social anxiety makes him laugh and shit. So he's a failed comedian, and he fantasizes about the girl who lives down the hall, played by Zazie Beetz. And yeah, she's hot. And I just wish she had a more substantial part in this movie. He has an incident. Real quick, apparently, you can tell that Batman didn't learn to fight in Gotham because he doesn't use the one Gotham move, which is knock a guy down the ground and then stomp him. Yeah, that's how everybody gets beat up in Gotham.
Well,
get him on the, because it wasn't just him. Yeah, it didn't just happen to Joker. It happened to other people too. Yeah. Like, get him on the ground. Let's stop him. that's like the fighting style in Gotham.
I guess we're still going through the synopsis here, but the other ridiculous point in this movie is, you know what? I'll wait till we get there.
I think I'm about to hit that. So what happens is, like, he gets beaten up and stuff like that. He's down on his luck. He's a street clown that I don't know. He's a sign spinner, but it's like I don't think they existed.
Did they exist back then? I'm pretty sure that was like a millennial new thing that was done. But
in
anyway,
recent years.
Anyway, you could argue that maybe in the bigger cities they...
Maybe. Yeah. So he gets beat up on a subway by three Wall Street guys. And then
who were
harassing
this woman.
Yeah.
So he doesn't even step in, for God's sake. He just starts laughing.
Yeah.
Because it's uncomfortable to
him. Right.
So they beat him up.
And then but another clown gave him a gun from the last time he got beat up. And so then he shoots all three of them. So three randos get killed. They work for Wayne Enterprises.
Next morning.
All of a sudden, it's a fucking...
vigilante clown.
Yeah.
Like, what?
What,
like,
crime was
what
he...
What kind of leap are you... There hasn't been a serial thing of this.
Right.
You don't know anything.
It was a one-time thing.
In at least from what the movie informs us on.
Right.
The audience is the only one that knows what actually happened and that these guys were... harassing anyone,
right?
Other than just, you know, on a train, but all of a sudden it's vigilante clown instead of murdering clown.
Yeah, yeah, right, exactly. And all of a sudden, like, the downtrodden people of Gotham raise up Joker like he's some fucking folk hero or something like that.
We should point out they're already the city is already in upheaval.
Right. Like, yeah. There's a lot of class tension and stuff.
It's
like
basically
that.
Waiting. For something to bubble up,
right.
to tip it over.
Right.
This was the tipping point.
Right. But they automatically think that, he killed them. And it's like, now if he had killed other guys like that, then I could see
it's
it.
It's been a spree of
yeah,
sorts.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But one,
this was,
a one-time
this was
thing.
An isolated incident.
Yeah, right.
And they're just like vigilante clowns.
And then all of a sudden this movement crops up where the people wear clown masks and shit. I'm just like, what the fuck is this?
Apparently, clown masks that look exactly like he paints his face.
Yeah,
it was
exactly.
Incredible that they could be made within days.
And what was so funny about that is like, and I know you probably can't make something super original anymore, but how much did that borrow from The Dark Knight, where he had the guys who had the clown faces and all this kind of shit? I mean, it's like, you know, and I know Joker has always had that in the comics.
Yeah, that's nothing new.
But those are like his henchmen.
But
you know,
again,
it's not
the Jitter Republic.
Right, right. Yeah. And it's just, and then, big spoiler here, Frances Conroy worked apparently for the Wayne family years ago, and she keeps saying that Mr. Wayne will help us. She keeps sending letters to Thomas Wayne, and then it turns out, spoiler alert, that she claims that Thomas Wayne is the Joker's real father. Then they said that he was adopted, and then they said
so he confronts Thomas Wayne,
right,
who tells him your mom's crazy and you were adopted. And then he goes to Arkham Asylum, confirms that story,
right,
basically.
But then he found a picture.
But then he goes back to his mom's, and then his mom has a heart attack or
a stroke or something, yeah.
And he's going through her stuff in her room, and there's a picture of her and Thomas Wayne, and on the back it says, I love you.
Or I love your smile.
No.
I think it said I love your smile. Did you look it up?
You had said that, but I was talking to a couple of our other friends, and they saw what I saw, which was I love you.
Oh, okay.
And it said, I love you, like...
TW.
And so the implication there is that that probably was his dad.
Yeah.
They probably did have an affair. Now, they don't go into it, which, all the worse for it, because you have to formulate shit in your head. And maybe that's what he wants. You don't know. But... Because like, the Joker doesn't know, you don't know.
Right.
But the idea I formulate in my head is, this is Thomas Wayne, who can pull any strings he wants. So he can get a birth certificate forged. He can get someone admitted to an insane asylum to declare them incompetent and insane in order to, you know, delegitimize this claim in this child.
Right.
And so that's where my mind went.
Right. And this is the point.
But I should be clear, that's all me. Like, that's not, there's no...
Yeah.
It doesn't delve into that in the story of this movie at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is also the point when Dirty A just screamed out, no!
Right. He's reading the letter that the last letter that his mom was going to send to Thomas Wayne. He opens it up to read it.
No.
It's like, your son. And I'm just like, no! Because I knew that's where it was going.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. So now you're making the fucking Joker and Batman brothers.
Ugh,
All right,
white people.
All right.
So I hated that twist. I thought it was
completely
totally unnecessary, totally stupid, and it's just like,
again, why tie Thomas Wayne into this at all?
Yeah, and then Joker goes on, and basically what happens is the Robert De Niro thing. He somehow got footage of Arthur Fleck doing his stand-up.
This is the 80s. There are no smartphones.
Yeah, this is '84.
There would have had to been someone in there with a giant camcorder.
Yeah. Or someone had an 8-inch reel.
Yeah.
You know, but it goes viral anyway, which makes no fucking
sense
whatsoever.
Because there's no such thing as viral.
Exactly. And he makes fun of him, and so then, of course, now Arthur Fleck vows revenge on him, and that's basically when he really becomes Joker. He gets invited on the talk show, and because the audience responds to his comedy, and or at least the clip, to make fun of him, basically, and then he goes and he kills Robert
De Niro. And in between, he's like, for lack of a better word, soul searching, and realizes, you know, like, I didn't feel bad about killing those guys. I felt great about it.
And what happens is that was something, again, it's a topic that could have been explored a little bit more deeply, where like the violence that he commits makes him embrace more of his true self.
More and more.
Which, right.
But again, he only does this one thing, and then it's all...
Well, he kills the other guy, too. The fat guy.
You're right.
He kills him, too.
Yeah.
That was fucked up. And the dwarf's like,
Could you let me
I thought he was going to kill him.
There's a little person in there.
Yeah.
And
he's a clown, too.
And he's trying to... He lets him go as he kills his the buddy he comes with. They just come to visit because they heard he had
the fat guy comes because he doesn't want to get implicated in the crime because he gave him the gun.
So anyway, he ends up killing the guy that gave him the gun, and he's letting the little man go. But the door's locked and he can't reach
the chain's locked.
He's like, Arthur, could you let me out? And Arthur lets him go. He's like, you're the only one who's ever been nice to me.
Yeah.
And I guess okay, because he's not fully gone yet, but at the same time I'm thinking,
no, that's something...
This is a crazy guy with no empathy.
But that's something Joker would do. That's true.
You're right. That
he
is
does
still
random
Joker
shit
is.
Like that all the time.
It is random. You're right.
So he does that all the time. And again, Joaquin Phoenix is good in this. I'm not saying he's bad.
He's got a great character. It's not Joker.
Right.
It's not...
Right. And, and then at the end, he finally becomes Joker, and of course, one of his, quote, disciples kills the Waynes. Because, you know...
At least it wasn't him.
Because, exactly,
That would have been
way over the top.
Like,
at least
it was, like, set up because of him, as opposed to him actually doing it.
But it's like... But at the same time, even though it's set up because of him, it's just like, hey, honey, do you want to go to the movies? Let's go on the night there's a riot downtown. Hey,
obviously, the riot didn't happen until... that riot started when they were in the movies.
Let's go to when there's some fucking giant protest downtown, which they knew was happening that night.
And wasn't it... Was it the opera in the...
It was in the Dark Knight, But in The Dark Knight Returns... It was Zorro. Okay. It was a Zorro movie.
And this was like the Gay Blade.
Yeah, it was. Yeah,
so
it was,
they did have a little homage to that, I guess.
Yeah, it was. I think it was Mask of Zorro. That's the more recent one, wasn't it?
The Mask of Zorro was the recent one, yeah.
Was there an older one called Mask of Zorro?
They may. I don't know. I don't know the older ones. I just know that the marquee in this movie said the
Gay Blade. It was Zorro in The Dark Knight Returns. Basically, the Zorro, the movies... The pearls, all that all comes from The Dark Knight Returns. So when Todd Phillips goes, Yankee Vinegar, go fuck yourself.
Yeah,
dude.
And anyone who doesn't follow the true canon of Batman, like this was also, I would argue, not great overall, but it worked better at least within Tim Burton's thing that he creates, you know, that Joker actually kills the parents.
Oh, I hated that.
I did. Like I said, I don't like it either. But at least for then, it worked within the movie he was trying to make. I guess. But again, it's missing the point. Of the Joker's creation.
Yeah,
he's created. Well, I guess they still do that in that movie.
Yeah.
He's an evil necessity created by Batman, essentially.
So what was interesting about this movie is that the Metacritic score and the Rotten Tomatoes score, Rotten Tomatoes is still calling it certified.
69%, I think, is that right?
Yeah.
Now?
It's still calling it certified fresh because they certified it way too early. Like after
that. That is fresh. 60% is fresh.
Certified fresh is when it gets the little badge. It's 75 or higher.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And
what is the Metascore?
Metacritic's 58.
Oh,
it's in the yellow.
Oh.
And that's based on 50 some odd critics. So it's like
that makes sense.
Yeah, I
mean, that's about what it is.
It's a
middle of the road movie.
Yeah, Goldberg gave it a C. Some of his colleagues at Collider are like, he should win the Oscar. It's a great movie. I'm like, I don't know what the hell you were watching.
It's
fine.
When you take all the fluff away from it, it's a one-note movie.
Yeah.
And like you mentioned earlier, it doesn't actually have a point of view on any of the things it's talking about. Mm-hmm. It's just talking about them.
Yeah.
Which in deeper movies, you can argue it wants the audience to be engaged and determine this for itself. But that's not the point here. Tom Phillips is not trying to do that.
Or maybe he is. Because he's an auteur now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The guy that created The Hangover is an auteur. Okay. Nah, everyone starts somewhere. I mean,
right. But the, A lot of critics are saying, a lot of critics are complaining that it's boring. And you know what? I can see that too.
The two friends I was talking about earlier, they talked about how they were, they couldn't believe how it just felt super long.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wasn't even fully engaged until the last 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, it was that scene that was stolen directly from, you pointed out to me later, that was stolen directly from the comics.
Yeah.
When he's on the talk show.
Yeah.
That was riveting. Like, I was like, oh, that was tense. And you're like, oh, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
It was,
and that's the best part. When he actually becomes Joker, that's the best part.
But 10 minutes literally, from the end of the movie.
It's like, maybe 15 minutes at best at until the end of the movie. So, yeah, man.
Yeah. So
the Guardian in the UK called it the most disappointing movie of the year. They gave it 2 stars.
That seems like a stretch. I'd say that's a stretch.
I was like, damn.
I get the point though, because it was built up. It was built up so high.
Right.
But again, not a bad movie. Mm-hmm. The character is good. Like, he's good as Arthur Fleck.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not Batman's Joker.
Right.
And if you... The problem with that, with saying that, is if you say that to Todd Phillips, he'll be like, it's not supposed to be.
Yeah.
You fucking put Thomas Wayne and Bruce Wayne in your goddamn movie.
Yeah.
Of course it's supposed to be the Batman's Joker.
Yeah. As far as...
Alfred.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you put them all in there.
Portly Alfred. Yeah, as far as live action goes, Heath Ledger is still the king of this mountain.
He knew what to do.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to blame this on Joaquin Phoenix. I mean, I'm sure he was doing something that he was told to do something completely different.
Because a lot of what Heath Ledger does, too, you got to give credit to the Nolans
for
what they wrote.
But Heath Ledger just, he just embodied that role.
Yeah.
Like, more than anything I can't even think of someone who's embodied a role more right now.
I would say Javier Bardem in No Country for Old Men.
Yeah.
As Chigurh.
Chigurh was
scary
that
as fuck.
That was crazy.
But no, it's like I said, I mean, the perfect word for Heath Ledger is magnetic. When he was on the screen, you could not take your eyes off of him. You were just like, oh my God, he's so fucking good. In this movie, you can't take
and
your eyes...
also, he had a plan.
Yeah, he did. In this movie, you can't take your eyes off of Joaquin Phoenix because he's the only one on the screen all the time.
That's true.
But I still go back and forth in my mind about who's the best Joker. If it's Heath Ledger or Mark Hamill, because Mark Hamill is still fucking great.
Yeah, yeah, I hear you. It's Heath Ledger.
Fuck you! You don't watch the cartoon.
I mean, look. Let me sway you, because Mark Hamill has the ability to only do the voice,
right?
Whereas, you know, animators are creating the emotion and what he emotes in from a physical standpoint.
Uh-huh.
Heath Ledger has to do it all.
Yeah, we'll see. So, Joker... I don't want to give it a complete pass because I'm like... To me, there's still enough there to watch it for Joaquin Phoenix's performance, but... I would say you really don't have to rush out to go see it.
Go see it and let us know. I'd like to know what people are thinking about this one.
And the other thing is, too, is that...
Now, if you're not a fan of Batman in general, you're going to be fine with this movie.
Yeah, you'll probably love it.
You're probably going to love it. It's made for the general populace that doesn't care about the canon.
Right. But the other thing is, too, is that the other thing they were worried about is, like, people thought that it was going to glorify violence. It really doesn't.
No.
I never once empathized with him at all. I was because I knew what he was going to become.
Right.
As a Batman fan, I know he's going to become Joker. He's going to become a murderer. I'm like, I don't empathize with that.
Right.
But at the same time.
And also, I mean, bad shit happens to him. But it's not like that happens to a lot of people. That's not like... It wasn't like something that was crazy, overly horrific that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that's shit that happens to good people in New York City all the time.
Yeah.
So they don't become a Joker.
Yeah. Right?
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Nah, there's, and again, this is Gotham.
Right.
So you already know it's a kind of.
Heightened reality.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's that. Joker.
A Joker.
A Joker, yes.
Krusty.
Krusty. That was funny.
Herschel Smoyle. Herschel Smoyle movie.
Krusty. So definitely check out Hustlers. Definitely check out Ad Astra. But be warned, Ad Astra, it is... I mean, it's not terribly long. It's just it feels long because it is a lot of just Brad Pitt by himself.
Very
a lot.
Much so, yeah.
But it's really, really good. If you like sci-fi, if you like hard sci-fi, it's a good movie.
Or like your mom, like Brad Pitt.
Or if you're like my mom, you just like Brad Pitt. You'll like the movie a lot. She liked it, though. She really liked it. And she's not really a sci-fi person, but she really liked it. Next episode, I have no idea what we're going to discuss. I know I'll be seeing Adam's Family. Because a certain someone wants to go see that, and
it's not me. Who is it?
Don't worry about it. And
oh, Gemini Man.
Those reviews are rough, man.
Not looking good.
I mean, it's been in the red for like 2 weeks. Yeah. Reviews are not kind. Now it's like I know why Harrison Ford didn't want to do it.
I'll ruin JoJo for you.
No, don't.
Yeah.
Well, I think the trailer kind of ruins it anyway, doesn't it? I mean, the trailer kind of...
Fuck you, man.
No. I'm not saying that I don't want to go see it now. I'm just saying it's like the trailer kind of, you know, I mean, unless he takes a major left turn that I'm not seeing, but, but no, yeah, I'm looking forward to that when it is released. Have you watched Big Mouth season 3 yet?
I like half of it.
Yeah. I've watched a few episodes so far. It's fun.
They're still going through changes.
Yes, they are. I finished the one where they went to Florida.
I haven't gotten that far yet.
Wait, what? Halfway through. The one in Florida, it's like the third episode or something like that. Nick goes with Andrew and his family to Florida.
That can't be the third episode.
Yeah, it is. No. Are you watching season 2? And his hot cousin?
We watched at least 3 episodes. I think it was 4 episodes. I think you're not. There's no way.
No, it is
the third episode.
It is. My Netflix was set up. My Netflix was set up to watching it after the Valentine's Day episode.
Oh, so the Valentine's Day episode was technically episode 1.
Technically, yeah. Yeah.
So then you're saying that this is the second episode?
No. No, it's.
I didn't watch the Valentine's episode.
It's the third episode. It's the third episode, not including the Valentine's.
Not
episode.
Including the Valentine's. Yeah. It's gonna have 6 seasons already.
I don't know if they've. I know they've.
See, Florida episode 5.
No, because.
So it's episode 4.
So it's episode 4. Sorry, 4.
Yeah,
but you said you've watched halfway.
I've watched up to 4.
Well, that's not halfway.
Well, it's about halfway.
I think it's like 11 episodes.
It's 11 episodes.
Yeah, fuck you.
Look, buddy. Sorry if I watch one more. I'm halfway. Ugh.
Anyway, watch Big Mouth. Oh, and they finally gave a release date for his Dark Materials. It's going to premiere on Mondays, I guess.
Yeah.
Because it's a BBC show.
Looks good, though.
Yeah, I can't wait to see that.
Looks really good.
The books are really good.
Oh my God, did you see that fucking HBO has now bought the rights to Sesame Street?
They had them.
Oh, did they?
Yeah. Yeah, the deal they've had the past few years.
Why has it been on PBS?
The deal they've had the past few years is that it premiere it's first run first on HBO and then it goes to PBS.
Oh.
So I wouldn't be surprised if it's the same thing.
So they already have it on HBO now.
Yeah. Sesame Street's been HBO for like a couple years now, a few years now.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So that'll do it for this episode. Thanks for listening, folks.
I was trying to do the Big Mouth guy.
Oh, you were trying to do Duke Ellington?
Yeah.
I'm Ray Parker Jr. And we'll see you next time.